Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best, too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our special evening show. Well, of course, this could be the morning or the afternoon for you, depending upon where you are or if you're listening on replay. But wherever you are, we appreciate you. We're almost at 1 year and 25,000 listeners, and I can't thank you enough for spreading the news and just making all of this possible, because without you, couldn't bring you great guests like we have tonight. Lisa Hacia, who is, if I'm pronouncing her last name properly, she is a celebrity coach, and she travels the world. She does amazing things, and it is really a huge gift and blessing and privilege to have her with us this evening. And she's very busy, so we have this special show for you. Now, if there's anybody that you want to make sure you get the monthly list, you can go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. In the right-hand side, there's a green box. Sign up for the monthly motivation news, and I'll get you all the guests at the top of the month so you know who's going to be here. And you can speak with Lisa live by dialing 347-637-1318. And while you're at my website, be sure to check out the call-in coaching, which is new this month for you too. And I think that'll be a lot of fun, so I hope you can join us for that. But you know, I think this is going to be a lot of fun, this show. I am really excited. Who doesn't want to know a secret? I mean, everybody wants to know a secret. Everybody wants to know celebrity secrets. And Lisa has a winning equation, and she's going to share that with us tonight. But let me read you her brilliant bio, because Lisa is the personal counselor to some of America's biggest Hollywood stars and executives. She's also the originator of the unique and powerful counseling approach known as soul blazing. Doesn't that sound great? Just the taste of that on my tongue. It seems so fabulous. Really delicious stuff. The founder of the Soul Blazing Sanctuary in Sherman Oaks, California. Lisa is recognized as one of the top counselors and humanitarians in Hollywood, and within the field of psychology, she's also regarded as the innovator for her therapeutic process, which is an intense hybrid of the Jungian analysis of the Gestalt therapy designed to achieve fast and dramatic patient results. Since 2007, Lisa's monthly weekend and quarterly five-day workshops have been attended by leading Hollywood producers, screenwriters, A-list actors, entrepreneurs, and individuals seeking transformation, change in their personal and professional lives. Lisa's international soul-blazing retreats have also been held in Tanzania. Wow, I can't believe it. Tanzania, Peru, and Costa Rica. A blogger for the Huffington Post, LA Lifestyles, Soul Cafe. She's also published numerous works, which includes Whispers from Children's Hearts. And this has been a three-year work-based interview of hundreds of children from around the world. And this book that Lisa created had been the genesis for her nonprofit organization, Whispers from Children's Hearts Foundation, which provides therapeutic services and soul care to children in impoverished and war-torn countries. And she has a fabulous website for this as well. Lisa also creates many documentaries of interesting people that she meets on her trips, and she's a frequent guest, obviously, for major TV, radio. She's a commentator, magazines. You know, you've seen her, and you need to go to her website. You can go to one of the many that she has, Lisa Hacia, H-A-I-S-H-A.com, or http://www.thesoulblazing.com and whispersfromchildrenshearts.com. And she also has blogs, videos, galleries, all sorts of great information. Beautiful lady inside and out. My pleasure to introduce everybody to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm good. Wow, what an introduction.
Well, with a bio like that, geez, I almost had to go to like a secondary college to get a master's degree just for all the pronounce all the words that you have in there. Jeez, I'm telling you, the psychology degrees and everything that you have going, it's amazing what you do. I tell you, talk about living life to the fullest. You make sure that you squeeze the juice out of living, Lisa. You are amazing. And I am so excited about what you do. You bring out the best in everybody. And, you know, people seem to think that celebrities are different than everybody else. But, hey, everybody's a person. Everybody has the same wants, desires. But I think what you're really famous for, or it seems to me from the research, that you have this unmasking the eight imposters. And I know that you have an upcoming reality TV show and all sorts of great things in the work. But do you want to just tell us a little bit about this, or do you want to maybe just give a little bit of an intro about yourself and what you're doing right now, and then we can get into these eight imposters?
Okay, well, I've been working in the field of psychology for about 10 years, since 2001. In 1999, I decided to get a master's in psychology, and that's when I realized I was really good at it. And over the years, I slowly started to create my own form of therapy, which I call soul blazing. And that came out of me being on the fence about helping people with therapy, really about moving forward or going backwards in their life, and then life coaching moving forward. So soul blazing is sort of in the middle. It helps clean up some of your past, gives you a visual to really go by, and it's easy to understand and grasp compared to a lot of the intellectual ways. And, you know, life coaching is where I love to push people forward. So once we start to heal those wounds through their imposters, then we go into the life coaching, moving you forward. And you know, I'm always doing 100 things because that's what I love to do. I'm a huge traveler. I just got back last month from leading a retreat in Tanzania. Once a year, I lead a spiritual retreat where you do volunteer work during the day, work in orphanages, and then also go travel, you know, be a tourist. And, you know, like we went to Mount Kilimanjaro, we hiked the crater, we went on a safari, and then we stayed with the Maasai tribe for 2 days. And then in the evenings, you get work done on yourself, which I do. You know, I lead the soul blazing workshop. So everyone gets to work together and piggyback off each other. So it's really powerful. It's a great growth, 10-day growth span for everybody who participates. And Africa, I usually have a smaller group, and in other places, it's larger. Like I took people to Cairo in last October, and that was 130 people, a trip down the Nile. And then a few years ago, Costa Rica, which I had about 45 people. Then Tanzania, I just had 10 people, which was really cool. So all the numbers work depending on how you create the trip. So for me this year, I wanted to go smaller and deeper and more intimate. So I just love the work I do, and I'm finishing up a novel, so which is about my travel memoirs, and also a book on soul blazing. So we will see how those go. They're both out with my agent right now, the book proposal. I'm going to get them back for a revision of the notes, and then we're off. We'll see how it goes.
Wow. But, you know, I really think the people that are most successful and the happiest are always the people that do what they love. You know, the old saying, do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And I think we're all designed with a specific passion, a gift, a talent. You know, we're all different. There's no right or wrong to being the person that we are. And obviously you're using the talents that you have, and it's working because you're helping so many people. And, you know, I think the traveling that you share with us, we'll all be living vicariously through you in Egypt and the Nile and, you know, Africa and all that. But, you know, there's so, people speak different languages, they look a little different, but you know what? The heart, the blood that runs through our veins, it's all the same stuff. And we all want to be our best, and we're all looking to, as you say, blaze our souls, I guess, you know, put our soul in that place of really making us be the best that we were created to be. So,
absolutely, and a lot of what I do, I have learned from all my travels, you know, because when I travel, especially by myself, which is how I usually travel, then friends started saying, I want to travel with you, and that's how the retreat sort of started. So I stay with people. Like, I stay with a Maasai tribe. I stay with the City of the Dead, you know, the literally the homeless in Cairo, the poorest of the poor, who built their homes or shacks in the cemetery where the coffins are, their end tables and their coffee tables and their beds. And so it's an experience, and what you learn from those people and really what you really understand is the paring down of life, how you don't need as much as we think we need to be happy. When you're living in a big city like Los Angeles, you feel, oh my God, I need everything because there's so much competition in this town, and you're so judged by what you wear, what you drive, what your house looks like, all these things, superficial things. So we get caught up in the unhappiness cycle to a certain degree because we can never measure up to what we think we need to measure up to, because there's always someone bigger, better, stronger, smarter. So I bring a lot of that wisdom into my teachings. I just finished a 10 CD program, which now it's in the final stages of being packaged and sent to a fulfillment house. But in that program, I break down each area of your life, and I share a lot of these stories of the different people I've met from over 60 countries. So it's a really, you know, profound, in-depth CD package that I think your listeners will really enjoy, which they could get on my website at lisahaysha.com. So,
Yeah, and your websites, all of them, are just phenomenal. I mean, they're just so well done, so much information. I mean, everybody, you have to go and you have to really set a little time aside, because once you get there, you're going to not want to leave. There's just so much that you offer. I love how you are able to bring, maybe not everybody can go on these trips that you go on, although it sounds wonderful, and you certainly have a large following of people that get to take your courses and travel with you. But the fact that you can bring those experiences back to us, and you have the book, you have the CDs, you know, it helps us be there with you and to understand, as you said, we collect so much stuff. We do that compare and despair. I'm sure even in the Hollywood celebs, you know, they do it, maybe worse, because it's so competitive. And really, when it gets down to the basics, what's going to make us happy? What's going to give us that purpose? What's going to give us the deep meaning and satisfaction at the end of the day to say, you know what, I made a difference, or, you know, someone's better for having met me instead of worse for having met me. And I love how you share those experiences as you travel to bring us back into a place of reality, because I think we get caught up in all this stuff is reality, right? Instead of the reality is us as individuals, as unique human beings that have a soul.
Yes, absolutely. And when you are living in Los Angeles and you're living a, you know, really decent life and you have everything you need, and, you know, I work with a lot of celebrities and high-profile people, it's interesting when you're working so closely with them, then you're working with people like from City of the Dead, or working with Bedouins in the mountains of Petra, or you're working with just people, random people around the world. Because you really understand, you know, everyone thinks, God, all movie stars are so happy and they have everything. They're all size 2 and they're all beautiful and have tans and have millions of dollars and are dating or married to fabulous people. But it's really not always that way. I mean, some people are happy and there's different levels of happiness here, but a lot of them really aren't, because they're always in the position of auditioning. Like, every moment of their life is auditioning, so they could never let themselves go or go out of their house without makeup on or with the perfect outfit being styled, because someone will snap a picture and talk badly about them in the press or show pictures of them. Oh, what's wrong with her? Look what's going on, you know. So they have all these issues. Those are some of the things that they share with me that they really don't like. And then when I was going to the Emmy Awards a few years ago, I was on a double date. My husband and a partner of his were going to the show early, and we were, the limo was picking me up first, then picking up, you know, our friend, and she's an actress, and she was sharing stories with me that were very personal, and how unhappy she was and what she really wanted. It was like she really wanted my life of just traveling to developing countries, working with children and doing that thing, and here she is living this glamorous Hollywood life where everyone's going, God, look at her. She's so gorgeous. She kind of looks like Michelle Pfeiffer, and she's doing all these fabulous things in the business, and she was just in so much pain. So, you know, it really is back, goes back to that children's rhyme, Humpty Dumpty. You know that one, right?
Humpty Dumpty. Oh, yeah.
Fall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You know, if we're honest, that pretty much sums up the experience or relationship we've all had in our lives. You know, we're all, you know, we all sit perched on the wall looking out over all the possibilities that lie on the horizon. You know, we're hopeful and excited, and we see the golden globe of possibility. You know, then something shifts and reality sets in. You know, we'll lose our job, or a family member will die, or a relationship will break up, or we don't get that job, whatever it is, something will happen. And then our life shifts, and then what? Then we're back to reality again. So that's when, like, soul blazing comes in. That's when you see a therapist or a coach, or you don't. And if you don't, you could sometimes heal your life, but if you get a coach or take a workshop or something, you get there so much faster, you know, because all celebrities have coaches. All big sports figures have coaches. So why not us? You know, I have a coach because you don't know what you don't know. You think, oh, I'm doing all these things, I'll get there. But you don't know that you don't know that if you did this one thing, you'd get there faster, or it would help you, or you would gain this much more knowledge, or this little piece of information would open up this whole new area that you've never even explored inside yourself or out in the world.
Yeah. It's so true, and isn't it, I think the stigma I think most people really look at coaches now in a more amiable fashion, but it's true. People in sports, you would never think somebody could win a gold medal without that. I used to be in college swimming, and you knew that you needed the coach to tell you things that you couldn't see yourself in the water, you know, but the coach could always say, hey, Deb, you know, you got to do your stroke, extend here or do that and slice that time off. And there was no way to be better without having somebody else who could see things from a different point of view, who knew things in a new way. And I love how you talk about you know, the people that you've met, whether they're in Los Angeles, they're celebrities, or the example that you gave, or going into other countries, I think that, you know, there's a common thread. Everybody has had some life experience. You know, everybody has something. You know, I always think, hey, you know, you got to wear a helmet. Sometimes life can be hard and dangerous, you know, and everybody's got a tough road sometimes. And you talk a lot about these imposters and hindering our success. And one of the things that you talk about is the wounded inner child. Do you want to, you know, tell listeners a little bit more about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I came up with, after 10 years of working with people, I found out that we all have developed these masks that we wear to get through life. You know, when we were children, whatever happened to us, which we've all had things happen to us between teachers, friends, parents, siblings, whatever, that we needed to cope in a way, and we needed to hide our feelings, hide our pain, our hurt, our suffering, whatever it was, that we're not good enough, smart enough. And so these imposters were built up inside. It's almost like schizophrenia. You know, when people have multiple personalities, and this is just, I think all of us do actually, but I think this is just, you know, a lighter version of that. So parts of us have split, and so all of us have that inner voice speaking to us that is critical of what we're saying, what we're doing, where we're at in our life or whatever. Our bodies, we're too fat. They find all of our imperfections. So here are the 8 imposters that I uncovered, and who knows, there could be more, but this is all I got in 10 years. So the wounded inner child. And the wounded inner child is always dealing with some sort of abandonment issue from childhood. You know, maybe they were a latchkey kid. Their parents didn't really care about them. They were always busy. Something happened, or they just had one parent, and the other parent was, you know, AOL, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's the overthinker. That's someone who's very scared of the future, who doesn't believe in themselves. So they overthink themselves to death. I don't know which road to go. Should I do this or should I do that? Or they put so many options on their plate that they can't decide. Instead of just going, okay, I'm going to choose this one and do it to the end. That's how I'll make my money. Then I'll do these as hobbies or see which one of these grow into something bigger and better. But they can't make a decision. If you can't make a decision, you cannot succeed in life. So the overthinker is another huge imposter that hinders our success. And then there's the therapist counselor. And this results from emotional pain that someone has been masking for a long time. It's something inside us that we can't fix, so we try to start to counsel other people. And sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes it's a bad thing if you don't have a degree in it. It's enough, just another way to hide out. So then there's the sex god and goddess. And this is someone that never learned to value themselves or what they have to offer. They always have to try to give more of themselves to be liked or to be loved. And they don't value that who they are is a gift. And that if you keep giving away, you know, sex could be great if it's done on the right emotional level. But if you're doing it to win someone over or to manipulate, it could be a really bad, destructive thing in your life and really ruin you forever. Then there's the narcissist, and that occurs when someone grew up in a household where other siblings received more attention, perhaps because the sibling was often sick or in trouble, or something happened, or the parents were overly strict, making them always wrong. So then they start to develop those same traits or mirroring that kind of behavior, and they start acting out. Then they don't take no for an answer. They don't respect other people. It's their way or the highway. They don't believe they're ever wrong. They don't usually say they're sorry. They're kind of mean-spirited. They've really just developed, you know, a hard exterior. And then there's the philosopher. And they grew up in households where smarts and creativity were really valued. And it's, when they proved how smart they were or how creative they were, they got gifts or they got rewarded. And usually I find this more in European families or whatever, where art and literature and politics, religion, all that kind of stuff is, you know, used around the dinner table much more frequently possibly than American households, where people really want to know knowledge. Knowledge is important. Information about the world is important. So they look down on people who don't have that kind of voracious appetite for world politics, religion, art, creativity, you know, knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And that could hinder them too, because not everyone is that type of person or cares to be. Then there's the clown, which stems from someone who didn't feel seen or heard as a child. And this is someone who always acts out and tries to be funny, you know, and it's that awkward funniness when they're trying too hard that turns people off. And then there's the fixer, which I think is the cousin of the counselor therapist. And this is a person who also wants to help others, but as the therapist usually goes the professional academic route, the fixer is more like a gossipy interloper. They sit around Starbucks talking about this person and that person, kind of hating on people who are doing everything they want to do and putting them down and why they shouldn't be where they were or how they got there. They did this or they did that to get there. They don't deserve that, or how they're not giving to them. You know, they make X amount of money. They should be giving me money. Whatever it is, they're the ones spending their time focused on what other people's success is and what they are not getting from life. And these are all interwoven. Sometimes people have one. Some people have all eight. Some people have three. It's very different each time. I just had a client come in a couple of weeks ago who had, like, all eight. And I'm like, you know what? I can't even talk to you. I don't even know who you are. Let's set up an appointment with your wounded inner child and your therapist, and we're going to handle each one by one and try to understand who they are, because they're sabotaging this guy's life so dramatically.
These are really great points. And, again, I'm just encouraging anybody listening, you have to get to Lisa's website and go there. You can go to www.thesoulblazing.com, and she also has some great little quizzes and things that you can take. But these eight imposters, I mean, they're really powerful, because I think that anybody listening has asked themselves, one of these questions. You know, why is my life the way it is? Why do I have these continuous repetitive challenges? Why does this always seem to be happening to me? Or why do I attract these certain people in my life? And, you know, really what you're saying is, hey, we all, you know, this, we all have experiences in life. We all have some fears. We all have some old beliefs. We all need a little tune-up, just like we take our cars in for a good tune-up to keep it running well. And we need to do this time with a coach, with somebody that's qualified. And by identifying these eight, you really detach. It detaches in a way, I think, the emotion, so that we can really look at it. And once we have revealed it, then what you're saying is we can heal it, right? Because we are really only as sick as our secrets in a lot of ways. Isn't that, you know, true if we just kind of go along on autopilot and don't really take time to, as Socrates said, you know, have that examined life? It's not worth living the unexamined life.
Absolutely. It's really not, because you could never live your best. So yeah. When you learn about your imposters, you know, you think about your imposters as your pets almost. If you put them on a leash and they're trained and tame, then you can work with them. But if they're running the show, they're running your life, then, you know, your whole life is a disaster. So once you gain control, you could actually use your imposter to help you. Even, you know, the most ugly, which is probably the narcissist, you could use that to your advantage in many situations if you're in control. But if it runs you, then it's really ruins your life.
Right.
So I've even had situations like that when I was acting. I went on an audition, and I just did a terrible job. And it wasn't that difficult. It was for Teriyaki Burger, where they wanted me to, you know, like pretend I'm sitting at my desk eating a teriyaki burger. Then there was a phone call for me across the room. So I had to get up, walk across the room while still eating the teriyaki burger, make up this phone call, then walk across the room and then say, Oishi desk, because it was for Japan.
Mm.
And for some reason, I just felt dressed wrong. I couldn't walk and talk at the same time. Whatever was going on in my head, I think I was nervous because there were six Japanese guys in suits staring at me, and it was one of my first auditions. And when I got home, I went, oh, my God, I totally blew it. And then I had a conversation with my narcissist start coming out. I could have done that better. You brought in the wounded inner child, and, you know, without using that terminology, but it was just kind of saying you went in there weak or less than, and you really can do it if you let me do it, you know, like your stronger, superior side. So this was like at 9:30 my audition. They were auditioning people till 5:30. I went back in. I redressed, looked in the mirror, said, okay, you go in. Dressed my hair and makeup the way I thought I should have done in the first place, brought a different headshot and went back in. And they're like, oh, you look so familiar. I'm like, oh, no, just here. I don't know. Maybe you saw me on TV, you know, because my narcissist was talking. Probably saw me in one of those commercials or who knows where. And then they auditioned me, and they loved what I did. And then one of the casting agents said, wait a minute, here's your other picture. Were you here earlier? And then I said, oh, my God, that must have been my twin sister, I guess.
Oh, she's
trying to be an actress, and she can't afford pictures. Since we look alike, she probably just came in and took mine. She's a terrible actress. Please don't judge me based on her work. They said, oh, my God, she was awful. And I said, yeah, but that's not me. Please don't blame her for me. Anyway, the next morning I got a call, and I got the job, and it was a $26,000 commercial.
Wow.
So that's letting your imposters work for you. I went in without knowing the terminology. It's just, you know, when different aspects of, you know, your really confident, assured self went in, you know, went in. That was the narcissist, where I didn't care who these people were. It was like, I am, you know, I'm it. If you guys don't get it, you know, good luck with your commercial, with my attitude compared to, God, I hope they like me. Please like me. What can I do to, like, oh, I'll redo it. Was this wrong? Okay, I'll let me try this, you know, whatever you want. You know, I'm accommodating. They're like, oh, go.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a great, I'm sure people, I'm getting a hoot out and holler. I love but that is just such a great example, because I think that, you know, anybody can relate to what you're saying in some form or fashion in their life. Those times where, you know, we're like, why did I do that? You know, I know I'm better than that. And then we go back, we try again, and it may be a little bit different. But what you work with people on, and I think the success in what you do is helping people identify these different elements of themselves and having these negatives turn into a positive, so that we can become proactive and be presenting our best, so that we can be living the best life that we want. So tell us a little bit more about some of the ways when people go to your website, they'll sign up for your newsletter, they'll, you know, get some of your CDs or look at the other things that you have available. But, you know, these eight impostures, the speaking of the wounded inner child, the overthinker, the therapist counselor, the sex god or goddess, the narcissist, oh boy, we know a lot of those, the philosopher, the clown, the fixer. I mean, these are all, you know, these are great, great, vivid, I think, images that we can all see. So how can this help us be our best? Tell us how you work with these with us to get to that next level.
Well, I have several exercises that I put you through, which are improvs that I do, and they're really great in groups, but I also do them one-on-one. And I'll have you do mirror work, because I think most people don't even look at themselves today. So I really have you look yourself in the eye, and I have you say certain things and speak to these different aspects of you. I have you do the imposter quiz, which is on my website, you know, lisahaysia.com/soulblazing/soulblazing again, and that'll take you to the quiz. And so I find out which imposter is your king or queen, which I say is your, you know, most severe, most, you know, the prominent one. And then we go from there and work on the minor ones also, but really focus on that one at first. And I take you through written exercises and through different processes. Like, I just had someone a couple of days ago that wanted to get a job and just graduated with a BA in business. And so I pretended she was auditioning with me, you know, with herself and her imposter, because she had all these issues. And I looked at her resume, and she spelled business wrong on her resume. And I'm like, okay, she just graduated from business school. She doesn't know how to spell business, or she would let something like this hurt her, you know, chances of getting this job, because that means she's not detail-oriented, she's not this, it just says so much. And so I said, you know, how do you spell business? And then she just kind of froze, and I said, it's spelled wrong here. I'm like, thank you very much for your time, but, you know, if you can't spell the word that you got a degree in, you know, I don't need you. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, like, something like that she would have went into a real job interview with. So it's like catching those things before they happen and talking to someone, so when you see them putting their foot in their mouth in a certain way, you're going, wait, that's your imposter talking. That's not you. You know, I was, you know, I wrote, direct, and produced films a decade ago. And one of the films I did, you know, I was casting it, and someone walked in the room. Usually you could tell right away when they walked through a room. You could say thank you before they even pick up the sides and read. But I usually let someone do it at least for 30 seconds so they don't feel really bad. And one person looked good, and he came in and read and did a good job reading. And I'm like, wow, I think we found our lead. And then when he sat down to talk to me, I started asking him questions, and he kept saying, you know, well, like, and it just drove me nuts. And I said, thank you very much, and I let him go, because I couldn't stand the thought of dealing with someone, because doing a film is like a marriage when you're directing someone, talking like that. And I'm going, this film is going to have a lot of improvising, and I don't want, you know, like, throughout my screenplay or having to edit it. So he would have cost me a lot of time.
But it's really important, I think, for somebody listening who maybe feels obligated out of some sort of, you know, it could be the people pleaser, it could be the therapist counselor, the overthinker, it could be the wounded inner child. But having people in our life that maybe aren't serving the purpose that is best for us or for them, because really it is about knowing what needs to be done and bringing the best to make it happen. So in some of those examples that you were given, you know, I think that that's one of the reasons why so much productivity has occurred in your business and with other people. You have to know what you want, but you also have to be open and flexible enough to understand that, you know, people change and there's possibilities and we can all be our best with some coaching and some work. But there is a fine line there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, there is. So I don't know how many people out there do exactly what I do, but so when you work with people on that level and then you really go deeper and deeper and you bring in all these improvs and, you know, I have them get up and state who they are and all these exercises for self-confidence and presentation and communication and organizing, how to organize their systems, how to organize their life, how to really set themselves up for success. If you don't have systems in place, it's also very, very hard. And once you have all that in place, it's really about then showing up every day. And your imposter could also stop you from doing that. So it's like, okay, so now we got the systems in place, and you're prepared. So now how do you show up every day? Then I give them those skills. And really it's just about conquering the imposter and making a deal with your imposter about, you know, what do you need? And then having the imposter give you what you need. Because your imposter really is like your wounded inner child inside. It's the child that never got fed. And how it didn't get fed and how that manifests is which imposter was created.
Yeah. And yeah. It's all a lie, too. I mean, it makes me wonder, where do we get, the example you gave earlier in the show, talking about the beautiful person in the limo with you that's a beautiful, you know, celebrity with the perfect life saying, yeah, I'd love to be doing what you're doing, Lisa. It's amazing how none of us see ourselves the way that other people see us.
Absolutely. And if you meet someone like that, you're going, oh, my God, they're amazing and perfect. You know, and yet then they have the nervous breakdowns, they become alcoholics, drug addicts, and, you know, who knows what else. And you're going, how did that ever happen to that person? It's because they're not really living the life they thought they were signing up for. It's so much pressure. It's, you know, it's also being arm candy on someone else, whoever you're with. You're usually with someone who's hot or successful, and you're there for them. And it's just, like, not enough room for two people to be so, you know, big in life and it's very hard. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of criticism. There's a lot always going on, expectations. You know, we really can't do everything 100%. So you can't be a good wife, an A-list star, you know, be a size 2 constantly, you know, be great at your craft, be a mom or a dad, be a, you know, all these things. Mm. They all take enormous amount of effort. Something's got to give somewhere. But when you just see the images on magazines, you're going, God, they have it all. They have it all. But when you, you know, peek behind, you're like, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. So that's when they come to me and I say, okay, let's fix this up. When they're about to have their nervous breakdowns or dealing with drugs or alcohol or, you know, their lives are falling apart in one way or another. So, or just to really get there and be sane. Some of them come to me just saying, look, now I've done my first couple of movies and I'm getting a lot of offers. How do I stay sane? I don't want to fall into that trap.
That to me sounds really good. The preemptive medicine sounds better than waiting. I mean, there are different ways. Sometimes people do hit rock bottom, but I think what you're sharing with us is a way to start getting healthy, making friends with ourselves, with the good and the bad parts of us. You know, they're not really bad. They're part of us. They help all of us if we know how to befriend ourselves. I love how you give the example of making your clients look in the mirror. You know, if you can't enjoy your own company, don't be surprised when no one else does, you know? I mean,
yeah,
we
exactly.
really have to. We only can give out what we first have within ourselves. So, you know, I think it's great. Now, the people, I know we're coming to a close. I cannot believe how much time has flown by, and I want to make sure we give out your website and how people can contact you and where you are. You know, we didn't even really talk about how you came up with Soul Blazing from the prison work. There's just, you work with the children. You do so many wonderful things. You do walk your talk. You live the life that you lead others to do. But I think that that's why you're the real deal, because you're authentic. And I love how you go and you travel to other parts of the country, you let the stuff go, you dump the junk, you get down to the basics, and then you can bring that wisdom back to all of us. Because I really do think in the simplicity of the present moment and getting away from all the chatter, that's when we find out how wonderful we already are, you know, and I think there's something to be said for just wanting what you already have.
Yes, being happy with what you already have, and then whatever else you slowly pick up along the way, fantastic. But if you're not happy with who you are now, you're never going to be happy, because you are always where you are, and there's always another place to get to.
Yeah, wherever you go, there you are. So whether you're in Africa, you're in Los Angeles, you know, you're still going with you. But the thing is, no matter how rich anybody is, even in L.A., all the Hollywood stars, you know, you can't buy back the time of your life. And that is the one thing, whether that saying, you know, if you're Leonardo da Vinci or Mother Teresa or Lisa or Deb or whoever is listening right now, you know, there's one thing that we all have in common. We have 24 hours in a day. And, you know, somebody, Mother Teresa didn't get more than you or me, or Leonardo da Vinci, or all these other people that we think have done so much more in their life, you know. We all have 24 hours in a day, and it's what we do with it. And really getting to know ourselves with these 8 great points and some of the other fantastic work that you've created in Soul Blazing can help us to be proactive and learn from other people. Eleanor Roosevelt, you can't make all the mistakes yourself in life. You know, you have to learn from other people. And you certainly have a winning equation, and you've helped thousands of people. And, you know, I don't know if there's any final thought that you wanted to leave with people, and also giving out your website and so forth, contact information again.
Yeah, I would just say go and take the imposter quiz at lisahaisha.com. That's LISAHAISHA.com /soulblazing/soulblazing.php. And there's also Soul Bright versus the Imposters animated video on that page that helps explain the imposters in a fun way. And yeah, after you take that, shoot me an email at lisahaisha.com. Lisa@lisahaisha.com, and, you know, I'll answer your email. And if you want to work together or listen to one of my teleclasses, I do 4 a year, you're welcome to do that.
Awesome.
Yes.
Wow. I'm telling you, you are a soul blazer, always doing something and great new things, and your book coming out. Do you have any idea when that will be released, or are you still in the works with that one?
I am still in the works. I first want to release the Soul Blazing book, so we're going to Random House and Hay House, and that's going to go out in October. So I'll know in October if it gets picked up or which publishing house will pick it up, and it's usually about a year after that.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll definitely have you back on to be talking about that. That'll be too much fun.
Yes.
Lisa, you are just a breath of fresh air, and I know that the people listening have felt exactly the same way. We're all going to run now to make sure that we take our quiz. And where are we going to go to take that quiz again, Lisa?
www.lisahaisha.com/soulblazing. That's SOULBLAZING /soulblazing.php.
So, awesome. You are definitely in the Best People We Know club. You've definitely been you're officially executive officer in, because I love people who really want to make other people shine, and realizing that every single purpose, every single person has a specific purpose. And there's nothing, I think, better than helping somebody else really be their best. I think it's really, you get so much more when you give something away, don't you? Haven't you found that to be so true?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we appreciate everything that you've done to share your shine with us and helping us be our best. We'll take the quiz. You'll hear back. And if you enjoyed the show, remember that to keep us going and growing, send this show to a friend. You can share the show or the link on iTunes, or you can just link somebody up on this BTR page and make sure that you get in touch with Lisa. Thank her. She has a great Facebook fan page following there as well. All sorts of great resources. So go to her website. And in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, do remember to be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Thanks, God bless, and make it a great night and a great
weekend. Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.